You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, Friday, where have you been hiding? Oh, so good to see you. Good Friday afternoon, everybody. We have Festivus coming your way at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to that.
There will be an airing of the grievances.
Do you have a grievance on this Friday?
I might have one to drop on you. I might.
Is it me?
No, okay. I don't think so. It's early. We still have 3 hours to go, but I think up to this point you're okay.
Yeah, give me time.
Is it the concept of cast concrete?
No. I am going to turn a new page, and we will talk about it when I air my grievance.
Mm-hmm. I can't help but notice you've been wearing something in your hair.
Yeah, I've got a little...
every day.
I've got a little bow back there.
What's going on?
Nothing. I just threw it up because it is harder, and ask any woman this, it is much harder to maintain your hair when it is down than it is when you do the old messy bun. Messy bun is my new friend in my 50s.
The ribbon looks nice.
Yeah. I messy bunned it. Yeah. What are we doing at 2:15? Because I think in the 14-year history of the show, we've never talked about this outside of COVID.
So Sam and I had to come in early today to record one of our Beyond the Pitch KC World Cup podcasts. And Sam was our producer today. And so I get in early because I keep my wardrobe in the back office, which is to say a pair of jeans and a collared shirt. And I had a little bit of time to kill. So I'm sitting in the newsroom and... Alex Gold is back, and he'd been gone for a little more than a week. And I knew that he had had surgery. And I said, hey, man, welcome back. You know, how you feeling?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What's going on? And we got into, and we're going to have this conversation at 2:15. He's going to come in studio. He had surgery on his sinuses.
Yeah.
He has not been able to smell anything. Not bacon. Not a fart, nothing.
I heard he had sinus surgery, but I just thought he had like clogged sinuses or something.
For more than 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my. Now, did it start with COVID? Does he know?
Yes.
Okay.
It did. And he even told me, and we'll get into this right after 2:15. I just found this fascinating. He hasn't smelt a thing in 5 years, except for a 2 week period, and we'll get into that. There was a brief 2 week period in these 5 years where he was able to smell. And he said he went to 801,
Chop House.
Chop House, thank you. And he said, I loved the steak, but Scott, it didn't taste like steak that I remember.
Oh.
So it's not only affected his smell, but I do believe, and Sam, you can deep dive me on this. Your sense of smell does impact your sense of taste.
Almost more importantly than your actual taste buds. For example, with common candies that the actual chemical makeup of these candies are all the same. They're all the same flavor.
Yeah.
They provide different scents. So like when you eat a Mike and Ike, the Mike and Ikes don't taste different. They make them smell different so that you think they taste
That's different. Crazy.
Yeah, huh. Skittles are the same way.
It's also intertwined. And I remember for a very short snapshot in time, back in 2020, whenever it was, I had COVID in the spring and, runny nose, fever. And I did lose my sense of smell and taste for maybe 2 weeks. What I remember about that is how bizarre it was to eat anything and the texture and consistency of certain foods made me gag.
Like what?
Chicken.
Why?
It was the consistency. Now, here's the deal. I eat chicken 10 times a week. Love chicken. But is it more the smell or is it the taste? Because the consistency, I remember this during COVID, of what it felt like to bite into that, it made me immediately sick.
Well, your taste buds were still activated. They were still searching for something. You just did not have the ability to smell the chicken that you were eating.
Oh.
And so all you got was that gristly biting through quite literally another
flesh.
Animal's muscle.
Yes, that's what. And that I just remember thinking, I'm going to be sick. I'm never going to eat again. And I'm curious how his diet has changed. Because if you said to me, we're going to go to 801 Chop House, it's going to be great. It's probably going to be $300 tab by the end of the night. I might as well stay at home and eat white rice or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, would you like some ice cream? Well, why bother? And
if you can't taste
some sort of like, I don't want to say depression that comes along with that, but I feel like it would be pressing.
If I went and got a $70 steak and couldn't taste it, depression would set in immediately.
So let me give away a little bit of the plot. He had surgery last week on his nasal cavities, and he still cannot smell yet.
Okay.
And we'll get into how, you know, after you have this surgery, how long is it going to take before you can smell again?
Sure.
And how is that activated? You know, I mean, you just had surgery. Why can't you smell?
Well, I even want to know what kind of specialist handles this. There's got to be like an olfactory. Well, but specifically for this, this is rare where you lose your smell. And the only other person I know this happened to happened after a head injury. She fell down the metal grate stairs at Channel 5. Mm. And I mean metal. Whacked her head. Could not smell after that.
So I also wonder what they're going to tell him to do to kind of regain his smell, because with folks with long COVID, the advice was to present raunchy smells to your nose to try to re-trigger the neurons to fire that, hey, we're supposed to be collecting some sort of data here.
That's why he's hanging out in the bathroom.
Because they get used to not smelling anything, and so they would say, you know, put your nose in some sauerkraut.
Listen to this. Losing your sense of smell, it's called...
Oh, boy.
Anosmia or anosmia.
I'm sorry?
A-N-O-S-M-I-A can have profound psychological impacts. It can lead to depression, anxiety, social isolation. He doesn't know that. And a diminished quality of life. It can trigger feelings of danger. Think about this. Discombobulation and even detachment from memories and loved ones, as smell is a vital emotional link to the world. I understand the discombobulation because we rely on all of these senses walking through life. You and I don't even think about it. Wherever you are right now, your hearing works, your sight works. We rely on all of it every second of every minute of every day. You take one of those things away, would you not feel lost?
Let me ask you this.
What if there's a fire? Can he smell smoke?
What sense would you be willing to give? If I said to you, Dana Wright, you have to give up one of your senses, what would it be?
Oh, I thought you meant sense like smells. I'm like, well, I can name a few.
No. Would most people not say smell? I have to have my sight. I enjoy my hearing. Need that for work. Need that for, you know, you want to talk about discombobulation. If you've had sight and hearing your entire life and then lose it versus being born without those things. I think most people would choose smell.
Taste.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then you're only eating for nourishment.
Oh, gosh.
But you can still smell that steak while you're eating it.
I feel so bad.
I would either give up taste or speech.
Many individuals report feeling discombobulated, struggling to feel at home without the ability to smell their surroundings.
Hmm. All right, let's go to break. He just walked into the studio. Go ahead and sit on down.
I want to hug you. I just feel like I would be lost. I really do. We have so many things to ask. Do you feel discombobulated? That's one of the things psychologically it says you might feel. Sam will get you.
Oh, for whatever reason, it's not working. All right, grab the other mic.
Yeah, I will.
Well, hang on. Quit pushing buttons.
Sam, just
quit telling him to push buttons.
He's discombobulated, Sam.
Quit pushing buttons. Do you smell what he's cooking?
We got it.
Are you discombobulated?
No, I feel good, guys. I feel good. I'm still congested. I sound a little congested still because I'm only a week off of surgery and everything. But for 4 years, I was constantly congested with sinus infections and couldn't smell for the last 4 years. So it was worth going forward with sinus surgery. And also they fixed a little deviated septum, but that wasn't the main reason
why. They've studied this out, and we'll get to this when we get back. They've studied this. People who just lose their sense of smell, for some, it triggers anxiety, depression, and this feeling of like you're lost.
Oh yeah, we can talk about it on the other side. There's other impacts to it, you know, and then it also led to, I've had to use like an inhaler here recently because of it for 4 years, for an inhaler that people use for like COPD, which don't have COPD, but it's what I needed to use because it all connected.
If I leaned over right now and squeezed out a fart.
There's nothing he can smell, Scott.
Would you look at me and go, bitch, please?
Nothing.
As Cody said, like just naming
the
gross
nastiest
things
stuff you
doesn't
could think
change
of.
What you're dealing with.
You could deep dive Deffenbaugh. It wouldn't bother you.
Yeah, like I've said, so my twin sister is going to have her first child here in about a month. Oh. And so I've not really changed diapers before. And I'm like, the problem is I'm going to get the smell back right when the baby's born, probably. But I'm like, that would be the time for me to learn. I'm not going to even smell. I have no gag reflex or anything from the smell of a diaper.
Let
you know?
Me in there.
I want to hear so much more about this. Alex Gold joins us. He cannot smell, hasn't been able to smell for the last 5 years. He joins us again on Dana and Parks. The only thing we're not going to discuss is your doctor's last name.
No? Doctor's no. Great, by the way. The doctor that did the procedure, phenomenal.
Did he go to my high school?
He did not go to your high school. Really? He did not.
Was he named after her high school?
That would have been...
Well, there's a connection there. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of similarity there, but he's been phenomenal. Yep.
So,
Dr. Seaman,
you get the COVID, you lose the smell for a couple years. Your primary care is like, it'll come back. And then it does not come back.
Yeah. They basically just said, okay, yeah, just going to give it 2 years basically. It's like, you know, and there were some other elements. My allergies got way worse. I actually had to start using an inhaler as I was mentioning, which I never had asthma or anything as a kid or growing up. It wasn't bad enough. And so what's so far so good post-surgery is I haven't used the inhaler in a week and I've had no need to do it. So
did you just get used to the idea that you couldn't smell anything anymore?
After a year. The first year, it was driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it was driving me crazy.
What do you mean it was driving you crazy?
Because I knew food wasn't tasting the same way.
Right.
I'd be out with friends. They'd say, did you smell whatever? And I'm like, no, of course I can't. It was like a frustrating thing for me. You don't realize how, like, you know, we all take any of our health for granted. Little things, you know, whether it's vision, you know, smell, whatever it may be. You don't realize until you don't have something or you are limited. You don't appreciate it. And so that was kind of probably what it was for me.
And how connected it is to taste.
Very much so. Yeah, it's a huge part of it. It wasn't, my taste was never 100% eliminated. It's just been different. Smell, though, was 100% eliminated until antibiotics and steroids for a short period of time got the smell back. So prior to surgery about a month and a half ago, I got my smell back for like a week and a half. And it was amazing.
What was the first thing that you smelled?
I was taking a shower and the shampoo, like this like mint kind of smell. And I was
and how did that, how did that feel?
Well, first I was like, is that what I think it is? Like, basically.
That's a scent.
Yeah. Because guys, I tried everything. I mean, going back 2 years, I went on and online and bought one of those like smell kits. Do you know what that is?
No.
So it's a kit with eight little tubes of like eucalyptus or lavender or whatever. And you try to like retrain, because some people do have to get retrained to smell certain things. I don't think that's going to have to happen, but I did that and I briefly could smell like that. There was the one scent I could always smell was like the lavender.
Okay.
But that eventually went away too.
Oh my gosh.
So this has been going on for a very long time, but basically what it was, I had really inflamed sinuses. And the airflow up to your nerve that detects smell, they believe was just, you know, blocked. Now there's a chance I don't get 100% of my smell back. The doctor warned me of that ahead of time.
There is a point of no return.
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. But I'll take 70% of my smell. I don't care. You know what I mean? I have had zero.
Well,
so
like for example, right now, you know, as you were talking, I was breathing in and thinking, what do I smell? And I don't smell anything right now, but I can't imagine. I remember a couple of days ago, somebody brought flowers to the radio station.
Sure.
And they got some for Dana. They got some for me. And I immediately put my nose into the roses and I smelled them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's such a beautiful,
you know what I miss the most?
Scent.
What? Is going to some Chiefs games. Did the drive into the Arrowhead parking lot.
Yes.
The tailgate smell.
With the barbecue.
I haven't had that for years. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that
when
smell.
When you got your smell back just for that short window, what is the first thing you did? Like that you were like, yes, like us, did you go have a steak or what?
So honestly, I swear. So I'm driving a vehicle with a company that we're working with over on 90 Generation Ford. And, so I'm fortunate to drive brand new vehicles. I haven't had new car smell in forever. So I was like, that smelled amazing to me. That smelled amazing. I'm in the Mach-E or whatever right
Any
now.
Weird like side effects or something that we wouldn't even think about. Do you worry about safety? Like,
well,
smoke?
That was more my mom's thing, right?
So,
my mom was like, well, yeah, because I live in an apartment by myself. And so, you know, you think electrical fire
gas leak.
I can't smell any of that. So yeah, there is a safety component to it, that assuming the smell comes back, and I may not know for 2 months if in fact the smell part, it could come back next week. It could be 2 months, because the way the nasal surgery works, it's not fully healed yet. Even though I'm doing way better, the stents are out, it won't totally be done for for 2+ months and I got to do these nasal rinses and things like that.
Is it guaranteed that you will be able to smell at least some?
I don't know if, actually, in fairness to the, I don't think the doctor ever like guaranteed the smell is coming back. He was very confident that I should get some of my smell back. The fact that the antibiotics and prednisone got some of it back is
a
why
good
they
sign.
Were. Is why if that wouldn't have ever brought it back, then I'd still be very worried.
Tell the story when you went to 801.
Yeah. So when I was able to smell, you were asking like, what did I do or whatever. The steak, so I can enjoy a steak right now, even though I don't have my full taste / smell or whatever, but the flavor of it like was incredible to me. Because the salt, think about it, like stuff
salt,
tastes
yeah.
way saltier, not saltier or bland or whatever. And so anyway, that steak was amazing. So far as meal wise, once the smell and taste is back, assuming that happens, yeah, I'll probably just go get another steak.
You are so fit. But my question is, if you went into, because you are young, you are fit, you know, all the things. But if you went into this as like, let's say a 50-year-old man that needed to lose 80 pounds, is the food enjoyment to me would just go completely out the window without smell.
So if I always joke with my friends, if I would have lost entire taste, like where I couldn't taste anything, then I'm like, well, then, yeah, what's the point of eating anything unhealthy? I just eat
kale.
Salads and, and kale the rest of my life because why not? But that I can taste it. Like I can have a chocolate candy bar right now and I can still taste the chocolate. It's great.
But does it taste the same?
Okay, I'm sure it's not. I've got some of it, Parks. I've gotten used to the change, right? I'll go, you know, when I like a Reese's peanut butter cup over in the vending machine. I love Reese's peanut butter cups, right? I can it still tastes very good to me right now. But the week that I got my smell back, it was a completely different taste.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's that's what it is.
It was elevated. It was better.
Oh, for sure. For sure, because it's you're missing. I think there's certain flavors you probably don't taste as well,
right?
You know, when you're again your smell. I can't. I don't know what the percentage is. It's like 80% of your taste is smell or something like that.
Oh yeah, could never like right now be a sommelier. Think about all of the professions out there where you have to use all of those senses.
Mm. Yeah, wine tasting, bourbon tasting. Right now, I mean, I can go and taste it, but what you say you're tasting?
Nope,
not the same. Not the same.
Is it metallic?
Someone else asked me that too. I think way back when maybe it was, but I haven't had like a metallic taste or anything like that.
Again, crazy.
I can go and still enjoy, like there's plenty of restaurants I go to and I still enjoy. I'm looking forward to hopefully when I get it back to go to those and see how different it is. So, I mean, you were asking before the break, just like the impact it can have mentally and everything like that.
Yes.
This is the best I have felt, guys, in a very long time. I went to, when I got the stents out on Wednesday, one, that's an experience in its own, like the pressure release of the stents coming out of your noses and just this rush of oxygen. It's almost like an oxygen high that you kind of got. And I went to a concert. Charlie Puth was at Starlight on Wednesday night. And that was like the best night I had in a while. I felt so good. I had plenty of energy and you can just tell like the airflow is better. Now, I don't snore like crazy. I was never told I did, but they say like, even this, you know, if I did, this will help with that, you know?
Oh, I think it's going to open up a whole new world for you. Will you keep us posted? I want to know all the things.
I'll make a post the first time I can smell.
when you had the stents in, could you not breathe through your nose?
So this is what's weird. This is how bad my sinuses have been that everybody warned me and said, oh, this surgery is going to just be awful. You're going to hate it. You're going to be miserable. And Thursday was not fun. That was last Thursday when I had the surgery. But I actually didn't feel like it was that terrible in terms of breathing through my nose. But I think that's how congested
it's been
that even having 7 centimeters of plastic in each nostril, you know, didn't feel that. It was more of an uncomfortable thing, right? But I could still breathe. And right now, like it's a little tender, you know, like you would, you know, you still feel like you're nervous that somebody's going to actually like elbow you in the nose and oh my gosh. But, other than that, it's been good. Knock on wood, recovery is going good.
When you get your sense of smell back, what's the one thing you want to do the most?
I mean, part of it honestly is just going. I mentioned like honestly
going
to a Chiefs game, and anybody that's gone to a Chiefs game, you know that's you roll your windows down when you start driving in the parking lot, and the smell of the tailgating is incredible. So that's an experience. And then it sounds weird, but like the new car smell thing, I love new car smells. So. It's weird. That's like probably not. That's like plastics and stuff. But you know, the new car smells great. And then the food element is the biggest thing, right? Like I want to see how different you know some of the food tastes and maybe I'll like some different stuff.
I know I speak for Dana, but I can't even imagine. We really appreciate your time. I can't even imagine what it would be like to go 5 years.
Yeah, I think without, four plus, so, something like that. Yeah.
And here's a classic example. I mean, just the smell of the roses that came in earlier this
fresh
week.
Fresh cut lawn.
This morning I was outside.
I forgot about the lawn thing will be nice too.
This morning I was outside with doggy bags picking up my dog's poo.
Yeah, I won't miss that.
And I remember, I swear to God, this is a true story. I get a big wad of dew. And I go to, you know, you have to pull up over your hands, and that releases the smell. And I just remember standing in my front yard going, whoa.
Yeah, there's smells like that, which I'm going to wish that I couldn't smell, for sure. Yeah, it hasn't been a problem picking up my dogs, you know what, so that's
it.
True. But yeah, Alex, I'll let you guys know.
Alex Gold from 96.5 The Fan, thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Really enjoyed the story. Appreciate it. And good luck. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Okay, I saw something so cool and so unusual. And I want to talk about it because I think we will never have a graffiti problem again. But we're going to start with this story before we get home here to KC. Monster wolf robots are in high demand right now to scare off bears in Japan. And Japan has seen a record number of attacks. They have recently captured and then called, by the way, almost 15,000 bears. So a Japanese company is cashing in on this. They have made ferocious looking robot wolves to fend off the bears. It's a cross between, Scott, look this up. The wolves look like something out of a nightmare.
I already did look.
They're handmade. They've got red beady eyes. And they're animatronic, sort of like from our Billy Bob days or Chuck E. Cheese.
They have red glowing eyes. Yeah.
Orders are coming mostly from farmers, golf courses, and people in rural areas because of all of the deaths that they have seen.
Basically, if Donnie Darko was a wolf.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Great analogy. So the animals over there are problematic, like on airport runways, supermarkets, anyway.
How do animals get on runways?
They run.
Probably they don't have the fencing
through
systems
fence?
We do. I don't know.
Oh, they can hop fences.
Okay. Anyway, it's a great idea. And, you know, then maybe you don't have to kill so many, right? And so I was telling Scott during a break, you're not going to believe what we saw a couple nights ago in Kansas City. Someone posted this. I don't understand why we should ever have graffiti in our town ever again. And here's why. Someone posted video underneath a bridge, but really, really way up tall bridge. Like the kind when you see graffiti, you're like,
you always wonder how did they get there?
The hell? Yeah, yeah. Did they rappel upside down to do that?
Yes.
So way, way, way tall bridge. Someone got video of a drone that the city sent underneath this bridge with paint. The drone has paint on it, and the drone is literally flying there going, and everything is now gray again in like 10 minutes.
Good.
There should never be graffiti in this town again. Think about it. You don't have to hire a crew. You don't have to hire a crane. You don't have to hire people that with the know-how and the safety equipment to get up there and then rappel upside down because these idiots keep tagging all the property all over town. You send a drone up with spray paint.
How come there is so much graffiti in this world, and I have never seen a single person.
You never catch them
doing graffiti.
Because they're really good at not being seen.
But on the overpasses, Sam.
Oh, there's graffiti on bridges over 435 right in the middle. And yeah, they tie a rope to the top of that bridge and literally rappel down with their life at risk.
No one cares. And no one even knows what you're talking about when you write those words.
But people need to know that David loves Lisa.
No, I don't really need to know that.
I know a guy who went to art school and his entire medium now is graffiti art.
But if it's a mural on the side of a business that's asked for it, absolutely.
Like when you get off on 20th Street and you're getting ready to turn left or right, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, but that's not fun. That's not exhilarating.
Yeah, it looks like a giraffe. All of the different... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But you're right, Sam. The thrill is in, I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing something illegal. and I'm going to see it, and everybody else is going to see it for months.
No, they're not. Not with graffiti paint drones. And for all the things that drones that we use, finding lost children, helping farmers with their cows, like all of the things we use drones for, what a great use.
How many layers of paint until we're threatening the structural integrity of the bridge, you know?
Someone tagged it again.
Because they're not going to stop tagging.
I think it takes the fun out of it for them. If you know that you're going to suspend, you know, like an idiot from a rope, take your life into your own hands to put something up there and the next day it's going to be gone, all of a sudden now I'm not such a ne'er-do-well.
I'll tell you who's really good at it, and I'm not bragging about my town. Shawnee, if you ever get off on Holiday Drive over by Deffenbaugh, there is a portion of Holiday Drive where you have to drive under
the bridge.
Well, it's a railroad bridge.
Yeah.
And it has gray concrete pillars. And for whatever reason, this is a popular place for people to spray paint their names and weird gang. I have no idea what it even means. And you'll see it one day, and the next day, paint it over in gray.
From the text line, just wait till the vandals get graffiti drones. Coming at you.
Lazy.
I love your optimism. I don't think that they will be able to keep up.
Well, they will during the World Cup, that's for sure. By the way, the U.S. now ranks 33rd in health in global rankings.
33rd?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we behind?
32
other
countries.
Yeah, but I want to know.
Well, it's the usual suspects. It's all of Europe.
Switzerland. Netherlands, all those Finland folks,
yes.
They're all very healthy.
Yes. Not in Europe. Japan is number 5. Australia is number 6. South Korea, number 7. Singapore, number 8. Israel, number 10. New Zealand, 22. Malta, 24. That's technically in Europe. They only list the top 25. But we are 33rd.
Have we always hovered, I wonder, right around that metric? My guess is we have. I don't think we're measurably any worse.
But I mean, for years we've heard people say we can't have universal health care. Almost every single, and I'm not advocating for universal health care. I'm not getting political.
But all the countries healthier than us have it.
Correct. Would you care to guess the healthiest country on the planet?
Oh, Switzerland or Denmark or something like
Switzerland's
that.
Switzerland's number 4.
Okay.
Japan.
Japan is number 5.
Yeah.
Denmark. Number 3.
Norway.
Number 2.
What's the other hangy down one?
It's not Sweden or Finland.
Okay, then I don't know.
Iceland.
Iceland? Why are you laughing?
Because you said
the other hangy downy thingy. Iceland is the healthiest country on the planet.
Wow.
Every single one of the top 5, and I would have to look into Australia and South Korea, Singapore, et cetera, all have universal health care. And we are 33rd. Now, why do you think that is?
On a Friday, I'm not going to give my opinion on that.
913-586-7798.
You want a real answer? You see, the FDA just said they're going to bring back some fruit-flavored vapes for adults.
Yeah.
Watch that number drop. Only for adults. Okay.
What do you think it is, Sam?
Oh, I think that our profit-driven healthcare system, and I'm not saying doctors are this way. I think the people that make up the system want to help. But I think the system itself is not built
is designed to hurt.
It's not built on curing you. It's actually built on making you more sick because that makes you dependent on them so that you spend more money.
My God, you have ruined me, man. You have ruined me.
And, you know, UPFs and
when we get back,
our food pyramid.
How many times, and I hope the answer is zero for you, have you been pulled over by a police officer and you felt unsafe on the road where you were pulled over? Mm. How many times has that happened to you? I can recall one time I had children in the car. We were on I-70 almost to Topeka, and we got pulled over on the highway, and I was furious. I remember thinking, with children in the car, follow me to this next exit. You can ticket me all day long.
And then light me up.
I'm not going to sit here with 85 miles an hour traffic zooming by, and nor should you, right? Liberty Police have released a video of a near miss. And I want to talk about it. And do you have the right to say to an officer, Not here. Next exit, sir.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So I have seen the video out of Liberty. I know Dana has as well. And it is a late night pullover. The police officers pulled somebody over.
Yep. I wish we knew what for, because I do think it matters, but go ahead.
All right. So anyway, it doesn't even say in the story from Channel 5 what road they were on. It just mentions that the Liberty Police Department is reminding everybody move over and slow down when you see police on the side of the road having pulled someone over. And in this video, it looks like a relatively busy two-lane on each side parkway.
Yeah.
Almost like Shawnee Mission
Parkway. It's a parkway.
Yeah. And there are two police officers. They are getting someone out of the driver's side. And a car comes by and almost hit all three of them.
Now, I thought I saw a husband and wife. It looked like an older woman wearing her Sunday best, and she has a bonnet on, a hat.
Yeah.
Do you not see that in the photo or in the video?
Let me go back and look.
And here's why this is important. I don't know what the Mr. and the Mrs. did, but aside from aggravated kidnapping, robbery, and murder.
Oh, God.
I took away something very different from this story that Liberty Police sent out. And it wasn't move over when you're driving. Everyone's got their nose in their cell phone. My takeaway is, why the hell are they standing in traffic on the driver's side of the car? And I'm telling you, if an officer said to me, I'd probably end up arrested. I want to know from our police officers what would happen. If an officer said to me, can you step out of the car? I will step out of the car on the other side.
Yeah.
If we are on a parkway. I'm not going to stand in traffic hoping that Marge at age 73 with her nose in her cell phone is going to take us both out. No way am I getting out of the car.
At what point do they start thinking that you are evading and eluding?
Well, that's my question for officers. If we're on a highway,
yep,
or we are on a parkway, can I not exit to the next exit? Like immediately the next exit. And then move the car over. Because that time it happened to us on I-70 with the kids in the minivan, I was livid.
Then why did you pull over?
You could feel the traffic. Vroom, yep, vroom, going by us at 85 miles an hour. And I had four babies in the car under the age of six. I'm like, is this really necessary right here?
But in fairness to you, why didn't you go to the next exit?
Joe was driving.
Okay.
And I just remember panicked telling the kids, tighten your seatbelts. Because I was literally bracing for somebody to hit us. And we were probably going 8 miles over the speed limit. I'm not saying we shouldn't have been, but ticket me at the
eight
exit.
8 miles?
Whatever it was.
Okay. I thought it was the law that if you can get over.
Move left.
You have to get over.
It is. How are they going to catch you? So this car that almost hit them. The officer is with the man and the woman.
Right. Actually, there were three officers on the scene.
How are they going to catch the room? You're not even going to be able to see the license plate at those speeds.
And by the way, I do believe this is commonplace. So text line, correct me if I'm wrong. If you are in an unsafe area or in an area where it might not be a good idea to pull over, say 75th and Mission, don't have any experience there. And it's a high traffic day. You can turn on your hazards and turn onto a side street. You are signifying to the officer,
okay,
I see you there.
Yep.
I'm not trying to run from you. Mm-hmm. I'm just not about to stop right on 75th and Mission because we're both going to die if I do that.
Hmm.
Again, no experience.
Well, and I was in traffic, I think it was Wednesday night, where there was an officer in front of me, and he activated it was on Shawnee Mission Parkway, okay, of course. He activated his lights. And he was like, you know, probably four or five cars in front of me. And this guy pulled off of Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Okay.
And then pulled down that, you know, that little frontage road where McAllister's is and Long John Silver's.
Yes.
He pulled down, he turned right off of Shawnee Mission Parkway and then turned right onto that frontage road.
I don't mean to go squirrel, but have you ever seen anyone at that Long John Silver's? Because I have not.
Me.
You've gone.
Do not. talk bad about Long John Silver's.
I'm not. As a child,
it's also an A&W
Ruby. Fine dining in North Topeka, and we would ask for extra Krispies, mm-hmm. which is fried lard.
Sam, go ahead.
You just asked two people who frequent Long John Silver's mm-hmm. if they've ever been to that Long John Silver's.
I have received calls from Sam Stevie. tell me I'm telling the truth.
You are?
And he has to come in early or, you know, do the midday show or whatever. He's like, hey, man. if Sam ever starts a conversation with, hey, man.
Hey, man.
He needs me to pick him up.
Long John Silver's.
And usually Long John Silver's. So I'm sitting in my house. This is like 3 months ago. And I pick up the phone. I go, yeah, what's up, man? What's up, governor? And he goes, hey, man. Are you still at home? I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I got doing the midday show. Man, picking me up some Long John Silver's? And I'm like, no, don't mind at all.
Three fillets, no sides, please.
That's exactly right.
Three fillets, three no
fish,
sides.
Three fish fillets, no sides.
Every time.
It's really like three pieces of fabulously fried lard with a little bit of white meat on the inside.
Every bite you take goes straight to your ass.
And it's so good.
Oh, it's so good. You know, when we got back from a place I'm not allowed to talk about, the first restaurant my dad wanted to eat at, the first one we did.
Long John Silver's.
Was Long John Silver's. Because they didn't have it over in Europe. 913-586-7798. The news with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.